But before I even get to my message this morning, there's probably at least one person in here this morning that needs to do exactly what he just sang about. You just need to call out that you need Jesus. If you're here in the sound of my voice this morning and you've never come to that point in your life where you've realized you're a sinner, that sin has separated you from God, and there's no way that you can get back to God on your own. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough. But that Jesus was God's plan. Jesus was God's, as it says in John 14:6, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And today would be the day that you need to call out that you need Jesus. My prayer is that before you walk out of the doors this day, that you would do just that. So that as you get to the last verse of that song, when it comes to die, you know, your reality will be in the presence of God. And so, that's got nothing to do with my sermon, but that's the reason we're here, amen? But as we're together this morning, we're going to be in Colossians. The last several times I've had the privilege to preach, I've been in Colossians, and I finally made it to chapter 4, which is where we're going to be today. But before we get to that, as you can see, we're going to be talking about effective prayer or characteristics of effective prayer. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody in here ever been really, really ineffective at something in your life? Like somebody said, hey, I need you to do X, Y, Z, and you tried your very best, and it just failed miserably. Anybody? Raise your hand high. All right. So good. So the next time that situation came around, you were so eager to go and do that again, weren't you? Absolutely not. Nobody likes to be ineffective. Nobody likes to fail, right? And so this morning as we come to Colossians chapter 4, and Paul is kind of wrapping up this letter to the church at Colossae, as he's kind of acknowledged the Gnosticism that is trying to creep into the church, and he's dealt with correcting that bad theology, and he's dealt with, hey, talking about just incomparable Jesus, and just all the way through correcting those things. And as I've preached through chapter 3 on this, we've looked at the way in which we should walk. I preached on that back in September, and then walk this way. And then the last time I preached, we talked about keep on walking, about how we walk in sanctification. We see that. And so today, as Paul just continues through the practical side of, hey, I've corrected this false theology, I've corrected this false teaching in this letter, now practically, here's how we put into play these things. Like, here is how we walk. And so that's what I want us to see today, is this, he's corrected those things. Chapter 3, he said, practically, here's how we walk in sanctification. Chapter, he deals with some, in the latter part of chapter 3, with family relations, about what it looks like, how do we relate to one another in our families. And then chapter 4, he deals, very beginning, before he gets to his closing remarks, he deals with this practical idea of prayer and evangelism. And so today I want us to look at this aspect of prayer, of characteristics of effective prayer. And so as we do that today, it's simple, just a few things. It's only verses 2 through 4 that we're going to be looking at this morning. But I want us to understand, a lot of us struggle with prayer. So I like audience participation because I know that keeps you awake. And it's kind of warm in here, and warm kind of puts me to sleep. But how many people would just be honest today and say, at a point in my life, or maybe it's right now, but at times I just struggle with prayer? Like, follow through, faithfulness to, like, we struggle, all right? And so what is it and why is it that we struggle? And I think most of the time the reason that we struggle with prayer is because we have a faulty idea about the purpose of prayer. And one of my favorite quotes when it comes to prayer is this quote. It says this, is prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. Because that's what happens, and why we get so discouraged and we also feel like our prayers are ineffective is because what we think when we're praying is, hey, I am going to wear God out until he does what I want him to do. When what prayer is a way for us to align God's will and our will, right? To say it's not about me getting what I want. It's about God, you doing what you want through me in this place. And so we feel ineffective because we don't get what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, right? Just like when we pull up to the drive-thru McDonald's, we want it our way right away, all right? But in prayer, we do the same thing. God, hey, I need X, Y, Z. I need it right here. I need it this way, and I need it now. And when God doesn't come through in the way that we expect him to, we often then put off prayer. And so as Paul is addressing here the church at Colossae, he gets to this part, chapter 4, verse 2. I want to read it, and then I'm going to have him put a sentence up there that's got kind of my 4 points in it, and then we're just going to go back and talk about those characteristics of effective prayer. But look at verses 2 through 4 with me. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And so as we come today, I just go to that next slide. I want to share this statement with you. And this is a statement that Brother Jake was preaching on a Sunday night a while back, and God has kind of already directed me to this passage, and it's something he said that God just through his spirit just kind of clicked, and I wrote this sentence down, and I've had it sitting on my desk until this day. It's this: praying faithfully, attentively, gratefully, specifically is praying effectively. All right? These are characteristics that I want us to look at in this text of characteristics of effective prayer. And so as we do this today, I want us to look at it. And so look at this with me just as we just kind of work our way through these things. Faithfully praying, right? We've all just acknowledged, many of us in here have acknowledged the fact that we struggle at time with follow through. We struggle with being faithful in our prayer life. And again, a lot of times that's just because we have a faulty misconception about what prayer is and how prayer should be answered, all right? Because we want things our way. In fact, he says this. He says, devote yourself, or very literally in the Greek, it means it's a present tense there, present active participle. It's commanding us, hey, look, go do this. Continue to pray. Continue praying. He says, pray and continue to pray. Devote yourself to prayer, all right? And it's not just saying, hey, you tried it one time and it didn't come out the way you wanted it, and so, well, that doesn't work, and so I lay it aside, because that's what we do a lot of times. But he says, no, we have to be faithful in prayer. We have to, as Thessalonians tells us what? It tells us that we should pray what? Without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, right? That is faithfully praying. It's not just, hey, I prayed for, right? We'd all like it one time if we prayed and we got exactly what we prayed for one time, right? Anybody in here ever prayed for something and you got it the very first time you prayed for? Probably have, right? How many of you have prayed for something for days or weeks or months or years before you saw God answer a prayer? But here's the deal. If we're not faithful in that prayer, lots of times we're not going to see what comes out of that. But he says, be faithful in prayer. He says, devote yourselves. Be committed to. Continue. Don't give up. Luke chapter 18, as Jesus is dealing with the parable of the second coming, as he gets done in chapter 17 with that, and it goes on into chapter 18, there's kind of an editorial little note, and it says this. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Right? What are we praying faithfully? Because here's the deal, if we're not praying faithfully, committed, devoted, continuing to pray, we're not praying effectively. Because there's nowhere in Scripture we can go to and say, hey, God said, hey, if I just ask for this, I just got to ask it one time, I just put it up there, he's going to give me what I want. No, we're told to persevere, to continue, to be faithful in prayer. And Jesus did this throughout his life and his ministry. Being the incarnate God himself, he was devoted and faithful to prayer. All right, you see it throughout the Gospels. It says, and then Jesus got up to go and pray as he did. He would get up early and go pray. And being God himself, he was faithful, devoted, continuing in prayer. And if Jesus had to do that, how much more do we? Right? We can't give up. We can't throw our hands up. But how faithful does your prayer life look? If we were to step back and watch you for a week, how faithful would we evaluate your prayer life to be? Is it a prayer life that is revolved around circumstance or need or want? Or is it a committed, faithful communication that you have with God day by day, moment by moment? Where not only we acknowledge, hey, here's where I'm at and here's what I need, but God, here's who you are. And here's why I'm praying to you and knowing that you're faithful about meeting this need because of your very nature. Thank you, God, for who you are, right? Are we faithfully praying? Do we give up? Anybody got a lost person that you're praying for currently? Anybody in here got a lost person you've been praying for more than a month? More than a year? Don't give up. You never know when that day of salvation will be. Do not give up. I had an aunt on my mom's side. You know, everybody, you know, every family's got, you know, in-laws and outlaws and, right? My aunt was on the outlaw side of things. Rough life. Just rough. Bad relationships. Didn't take care of her kids. My parents raised a couple of her kids. She didn't know the Lord. Prayed for her for a long time. Different people prayed for her. I don't even remember how long ago it was. Probably about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. She was diagnosed with brain cancer. In her last probably month of life, she moved from Florida to Texas so that my mom could take care of her. Probably 2 to 3 weeks before she went to be with the Lord, my mom had got to have lots of conversations with her. She trusted the Lord. I got to go to my parents' house. It was cold too. She couldn't get up and get around without help. It was affecting everything through her body. But she'd made that decision and she wanted to be baptized. And so my dad drug over the horse trough right off the side of the back porch. I drove from Joshua, Texas to Mount Vernon, Texas. And I got to baptize my aunt. Not that that saved her, but she had, after people had prayed, after she was so far from God, my grandmother, who was the spiritual influence in my life, prayed for her. People had prayed for her. For years before she trusted. I'm thankful for people who faithfully pray. And I can stand here today and I can give testimony about that because people were faithful to pray. And I can praise God for that. And so why is it? How faithful? What is it? What in our prayer life, what are we not being faithful to that we just need to throw up our hands to God and say, God, please forgive me for giving up? Because what happens a lot of time why we quit being faithful in prayer is because we think we are being ineffective instead of realizing that God is the one who is at work and to will according to his purpose. Right? God's the one who's at work. We're not going to accomplish. We don't save people. We're faithful to go and to speak the truth and do the things that we're called to do. In fact, that's what he's fixing to ask them to pray for, is so that he can articulate the gospel in such a way that people would understand it clearly. But we have to be faithful in prayer. Do not give up. Until someone draws their last breath, there is hope. Do not give up. Remain faithful in prayer. But then he also goes on in the text here. He says, not only devote yourself, continue to pray, continue to devote yourself, pray and keep on praying, but he says, keeping alert, being alert. Again, present active, it means that we should be alert and we should continue. This should be a continual state for us to be alert in our prayer life. That means that we are constantly aware of what's going around us. We are constantly aware of the work of God, and that we live in that state of, like we talked about in Thessalonians, that we pray without ceasing. It's not that we don't do anything else in life and we just hold ourselves in our prayer closet and we just sit there and pray all day. It just means that we are always attentive to what God is doing around us and that we are bathing those things in prayer. I can be driving to work and I can see something, or I can be at work and hear something that somebody says, and I can constantly be alert to those things and lift things up in prayer, right? Anybody ever been at work and you heard something and it just made you cringe a little that you heard it? Right? That ought to remind us, man, I serve a holy and a righteous God. Let me pray for that person right now. Being attentive in prayer. But the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, look, continue to pray, be faithful in prayer, but we need to be alert, be attentive. And this kind of calls to mind Jesus, as he went there to the Garden of Gethsemane and he took those with him. What did he tell them? He told them to watch and pray, to be attentive. And that's something we see throughout Scripture, right? That we should watch and pray. In fact, Nehemiah, right, as they were going to rebuild the walls, as they were going to rebuild and set things up, what'd they say? Chapter 4, verse 9, I believe it is. He said, told them what? That we prayed to our God, but then we set a watch. We were watching and praying. In fact, as they labored on the wall, they worked with a tool in one hand and a sword in another. But it says they were devoted, they continued in prayer, but yet they were watchful. They were watching for the enemy. They were attentive. But here's the deal. We need to keep focused. We get distracted, right? It's easy in life to get distracted and forget about prayer, right? It's easy, hear me now, it's easy to get distracted with the work of the kingdom and leave prayer behind. The work of the kingdom is a good thing. Serving within the church is a good thing, right? But a lot of times what we do is we lay aside those personal spiritual disciplines for the sake of public service. And we think that is in place of those things. Right? Oh, I teach a Sunday school class and I prepared my Sunday school lesson. That takes the place of my personal time of prayer and study with the Lord. No, it doesn't. And it's easy for us to rationalize that, and it's easy to say we're doing good things and I'm serving and I'm doing this. But your personal relationship with God comes before any of that. You do that service out of that personal relationship. But he says, watch and pray. Be attentive. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Be sensitive to your surroundings so that we can know. Ephesians 6:18 is our verse for the latter part of it. Says what? It says, be alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Be on the alert. Right? Candace and I, we got to go to New Orleans this last week, and we're thankful to be back. We're thankful to go. I ate way too much food. But you and I both know New Orleans can be a little crazy. And so everywhere we went, you know what? I was alert. I was attentive of my surroundings. I was attentive of people here, people there. And I walked around, and I was alert. Why? Because I wanted to protect my wife. I didn't want to put ourselves in a situation where we shouldn't be. And for us in prayer, when we're not alert, when we're not attentive in prayer, we tend to lose that focus. We tend to lose that closeness. Prayer, when we pray, you know, there's different aspects of prayer, but what we do, it keeps us focused on the things of God instead of ourselves, right? When we pray, when we participate in prayer through adoration, what are we doing? We're adoring God for who he is. That gives us the proper perspective of who he is and who we aren't. All right? Keeps our attention where it should be. Keeps our focus. And so if we're going to pray effectively, we have to pray attentively, focused, looking, watching, always in that spirit of prayer. Keeping alert. And then he goes on and says, in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Effectively praying, you can't effectively pray without being grateful. Right? Gratitude. I mean, we're in the month of gratitude, right? Thanksgiving, right? The 1 month a year we should be grateful. It's not just 1 month a year we should be grateful, by the way. Paul didn't write the letter to the church at Colossae for the month of November and say, well, it's November and Thanksgiving didn't exist, all right? There's no context for that. This is a continual state of thanksgiving that we should be in. If you got up this morning and drew breath, guess what? If everything else in your day goes wrong, you should be thankful. I should be thankful. You had shoes to put on your food and food to put in your shoes to put on your feet and food to put in your mouth. Don't put food on your feet. That's weird, all right? Just don't do that. Right? You had shoes to put on your feet, food to put in your mouth. You have something to be thankful for. We can go to a point of being ungrateful really, really, really fast. Right? Because again, what? We want things our way right now, and when we don't get it, I don't know about you, but I get grumpy. When my hamburger comes out with mustard and onions on it, and that's not how I ordered it, I get grumpy. But we have to be grateful. And I mean, we can go through scripture after scripture looking at this idea of gratitude, but as we pray, thanksgiving is a part of prayer, all right? And it should be a part of prayer every single time we pray. Because it sets for us proper perspective. And that comes even in times of trial and tribulation. That's James chapter 1. Consider it all joy when you face various trials. We can give thanks in the midst of that. Why? Because we know God's at work. All right? We're not thankful because of our situation. We're not thankful because of that. We're thankful because of who God is. And we know even though the circumstance might not be great right now, the God that I serve is perfect. The God that I serve already knows the outcome of this circumstance. And so you know what? I'm going to remain faithful in prayer. I'm going to remain attentive in prayer. And I'm going to continue to be thankful in prayer. Knowing that, you know what? He's the author and perfecter of my faith. But we have to be thankful. Right? We're going to have our Thanksgiving Sunday here in just a couple weeks. And part of what we do on that Sunday is we just encourage people to move throughout this whole place and go find people in your life that you need to say, hey, I am thankful for you of what God's done in my life. I started this with our students on Wednesday night, and we're doing it throughout this month. Every time we meet, they've got a little index card in there. They're supposed to go and grab one and write a thank you note to someone and say, hey, here is why I am thankful for you in my life. We have to be thankful. We're thankful for the body. We're thankful to God for who He is and what He's done for us. We cannot leave gratitude out of the equation. How grateful are you? Do we come to pray and do we just ask and say, gimme, gimme, gimme? I hope not. Or do we just say, God, thank you. Thank you for my car that's got 100,000 miles on it. Thank you for my car that's got 200,000. Anybody identify there? It's gratitude. Oftentimes when we lose gratitude is when we begin to look at others and compare. Well, I don't have that. Well, I don't have that. Well, God did that for. Well, God didn't do this. It's not about that. Gratitude. We must be grateful. How grateful are you in your prayer life? How grateful am I in my prayer life? And the final thing you see it there is this, is not only praying faithfully, attentively, gratefully, but praying specifically. Look at the text, what he says here. He says, we've come in with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying in the same time for us as well, that God will open the door to us for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Again, he's thankful even in the midst of being imprisoned, that I may make it clear the way in which I ought to speak. Paul is asking for specific prayer from the church, all right? We have to pray specifically. I believe we are doing ourselves a great disservice when we don't pray specifically. Because one, we don't ever really see and recognize when God truly answers prayer, right? It's one thing to pray, hey God, I want you to, you know, just this broad thing, thank you, take care of us. But when we pray specifically for things and we see God answer in a specific manner, I'm encouraged to give thanks that much easier because I've seen a specific answer to a specific prayer. And so what does the Apostle Paul say? He prays here and he says, hey, pray for us. Pray for us specifically, just as people, those that are ministering, going throughout the gospel. He says, pray specifically for the door of the gospel. He says, pray for opportunity for the gospel, for the door to be opened. Pray for us not only for the door to be open, but that then we would be able to go and share the gospel, that they would make clear, that last part of it says that we would make it clear. He says, pray for us specifically that when I speak the mystery of the gospel, that God through his Spirit will put the words in my mouth that will make it clear to the person who's hearing it so that there will be no reason why they should not understand the truth of the gospel. And so even in the context of the passage here, he's praying specifically in this area of evangelism. Pray for the opportunity. Pray for the door to be open. Pray for the mystery of the gospel to go forth. Pray that when we have that opportunity, we will take it and it will be clear to those that hear. When is the last time that you got up and you prayed for an open door that day? Did you get up this morning and say, even though it's Sunday and even though I'm going to church, God, provide me an open door to share the gospel with a lost person? The reality is probably the majority of us didn't pray for that today. But how many of you are going to encounter somebody besides the people in this room today? You're going to go to a grocery store? You're going to go eat? You're going to stop and get gas somewhere? Pray for the door to be opened, and then pray that you would be able to articulate, not through your words, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, a clear presentation of the gospel. But the reality is this is the context of when it's written. He's talking about them to continue to preach. He says, even though I'm here in prison, guess what? The door was still open, right? He had a Roman guard that was assigned to him. Guess what? The door was always open because somebody was always there watching. But then he would continue to go and continue to go. And wherever he went, Paul would take the opportunity. He would step through the open door. He would share the gospel. And we have to be willing to do that. But you and I, in things that we pray about, you know, we need to pray specifically. Like when we go to the hospital and I go and make visits and I'm visiting with someone and they're there and different health things are going on. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, what's the course of treatment, or, hey, they're getting better, but this needs to happen so they can go home. You know what I always try and do? I say, all right, let's pray specifically for this. Right? The doctor said there's a chance you could go home today. You know what we're going to pray for? That you get to go home today. If it's God's will. Like, we have to pray specifically, right? If we want to see God work, we pray specifically. If we want to... But here's the deal. We tend to lose the gratitude side of it when we don't pray specifically. All right? Anybody in here write out prayer requests? Maybe have a journal you write? Why do you do that? You don't do it because you're going to forget. Right? What do? As you pray and you pray about specifically, hey, I'm praying for this lost person. I'm praying for an opportunity. And you go back and you look at that and you go, Remember when God gave me that opportunity? They came to work that day. They had had a terrible morning, and God just opened the door that I was able to speak words of life into their, and I took the opportunity. I stepped through the door. I want to encourage you to do that. Pray for opportunities. Pray for specific people. Get up every single day and say, God, today, this person, I'm burdened for this person. This day, give me an open door. Give me the words to speak it clearly. So this is what the Apostle Paul is doing here as he's telling them. He's saying, he's instructing them how they continue to go on in this, but in doing so, as he's calling them to prayer, he shows us these characteristics of effective prayer. Hey, we have to persevere. We have to faithfully pray. We have to attentively pray. We have to always be on guard. We have to always be looking. We have to always be watching. We have to always be grateful. And we need to be specific. I had an opportunity. I'm not going to try and embarrass somebody who's in here, but Jacob had a situation at school. He got in some trouble. He's made a choice, did something he shouldn't do. And so as we went to pray that night, I began to talk to him about repentance, right? Now, a lot of times when we pray specifically, especially when it comes to repentance, we don't like to do that because we have to name our sin, right? Y'all like to name your sin? The reality is God knows it. And so I was like, hey, we need to pray for repentance because, right, we talked about it. You made this choice. That was a sinful choice. That wasn't a choice that honored God. And so we need to repent. We need to turn away from that. We need to seek God's forgiveness. And so as we began to pray, dear God, please forgive me for my sin. And I just had to stop him and say, no. You need to name it. You need to call it out. God already knows what it is, but we have to acknowledge it specifically. And so my prayer for us as a church is that we would be a church that is a church of prayer, but that is effective. We don't go through the motion and say, yeah, I said my prayers. I got in bed and I was really tired and I prayed for about 30 seconds until I fell asleep. That's not effective prayer. That's not even prayer. It's lip service. But to pray effectively is to pray faithfully, to pray attentively, to pray gratefully, and pray specifically. And so as we come this morning, we always are called to respond to the Word of God. And so for those in here today who are born-again believers, what we must do is we must evaluate our prayer life and say, do I have an effective prayer life? Am I seeing God answering prayers? Am I continuing faithfully? Am I being grateful? Am I always attentive and watching for those opportunities to pray and situations in which I should pray? Am I alert? And probably for anybody, no matter how faithful we're in here, we probably have days where we stumble and we fall. And so for us, it's God, where in my prayer life do I need to get back on track? And so maybe this morning you need to come to this altar, maybe where you're at. Maybe there's somebody you're praying specifically for that you would come and pray at this altar, or go and find someone in this place that you would pray with. But for some today, the prayer that you need to speak is one of repentance. One of acceptance of what Jesus did through his atoning sacrifice on your behalf. A prayer placing your faith in Jesus as Lord. And I can tell you that that is an effective prayer that will be answered immediately if you are genuine and true about it. Right? Romans 10:9, I love that passage. I go to it all the time. It says what? If we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Not you might be, not you eventually, you will be saved. And so for some today, the prayer that you need more than any other prayer right now is not to worry about praying for somebody else, is that you need to cry out to God, save me. And so as we come to this point of invitation, I want to encourage you to get up where you're at, to come down. I'll be here, Brother Josh will be here, Brother Neil will be up here as well. We would love to share more with you about how you can call out to God for salvation. Maybe you're here, you've been visiting for a while, and God has prompted you and through His Spirit has confirmed that this is a place that He wants you to be a part of, that He wants you to be a member of this church. The way you would join this church is simply to walk the aisle, take one of us by the hand and say, hey, I need to join this church. But whatever it is that God is prompting you to do, I say it every time I preach, my only prayer is that you would be obedient to what it is His Spirit is calling you to do at this time of response. So let's stand together as I pray, and then we will